Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Well, good morning. Just close your eyes a moment. There is a greatness about the capacity of the Father's love towards you. It's just a greatness, an overwhelming dynamic of strength and power that overrides every reason that we can come up with on why God should not love us. There is a dynamic within the love of God which is so faithful, determined, that he will not let you go. And there was one of the praise songs, and I felt a bit weary when I arrived this morning, but there is strength in praising Jesus, because he inhabits, lives, dwells, roams around the praises of his people. And just as we were praising, I can feel myself getting enthused and invigorated. But there was a phrase in one of the songs about either in loss or in victory, you are still good. And in a moment, in just a second of time, the Father reminded me that he knows what it's like to see a loved one die. Because his son died. And I don't know how many of us, certainly I have experienced the death of my father and both my parents actually. But I know also sometimes we live dead to our fathers for all kinds of reasons. And I just want you to receive the possibility that the Father's love towards you is greater, stronger, and more powerful than any natural father's love could ever be towards you. How great is the Father's love that he has lavished upon us? That means he has overwhelmingly given more than we need, more than we can ask, and more than we can imagine, and it keeps coming. Lavish is a really strong word, that we can be called children of God. And I pray right now for anyone here in the room, anybody listening afterwards, if you've just found celebrating today a struggle in your own heart for whatever reason, let's fix our eyes on our Heavenly Father, who comforts those who mourn, binds up the brokenhearted, pours out his love constantly and continuously to bring us, not just, again, the second part that I saw was when we were singing about you're on your throne, I literally could see in my heart the Father reaching out and saying, yeah, and I want you to come and sit with me. That is amazing. It's yes, it's right, and it's true. He is eternally worthy, and he is on the throne. But also he's lifted us up to sit with him. And if that's anybody in the room that for some reason feels less than you should be, or you're just not enough, his love makes you more than enough. His love makes you more than enough. That's you. So let that come into your heart. Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you, like we were hearing, Lord, the biggest tactic that the enemy uses is to make us think we're doing all right. That we're doing all right. Well, God, you didn't die so that we'd do all right. You died so that we would have life and life in all its fullness. So we die to that set of good enough. No, You've made us better than good enough because of Jesus. And I just pray for everybody right now that you comfort those that mourn right now. And I know this is for somebody here, maybe a few of you. And I can just hear the Father's voice saying, come, come up here. Come on. Come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. I want to lavish love on you today so that you know in a fresh way who he is and you understand in a fresh way who you are. Amen. Amen. Pastor Victor was interested. He mentioned that maybe some people are not here because of, I think, sand, sun, and sea. And I've chosen to forsake all three of those to come to the sand, sea, and sun of Crawley. Amen. Because what I've discovered, living near the former, but loving the latter, is that wherever you're serving, it is sun, it is sea, it is sand. The only one thing that I haven't got here, which I would have at home, is a wetsuit and a paddle board, but maybe next time. Who knows? But we are, as Pastor said at the beginning, we want to celebrate together primarily how much the Father in heaven loves us. And out of that love, what he has done for us. But specifically this morning, and please, ladies, don't feel left out. My wife will be the first advocate as a lady to say that when I am operating how God wants me to, she is blessed. See, you laugh too quickly, but that's fine. I love you, forgive you. Is that my wife will be the first champion that when I am just doing what God is asking me to do, she is blessed. But equally, when I'm not, she's not. Do you understand that? If you're married, you will say yes and amen. If you want to be, here's a marriage coaching lesson for you. If you have been, well, it's still a coaching lesson for you. But just to pick up on something that the second gentleman said about freedom, which I love. And that is the great big shout and everybody going totally nuts. I think for a moment, we made even more noise than the stadium at England when they beat whoever it was they beat 4-2. Who was it, Rowan? You would know. Who did we beat? Croatia. I love Croatia. The reason why that happens, and you really need to be in that to know it, is because in heaven, right now, in this moment of time, in this season of your life, in this place of maybe challenge, in this place of maybe your victory, is a crowd cheering you on. Even right now, as you might be just trying to do life the best you can, you might just be trying to succeed and not succeeding, there is a multitude of people that have been where you've been, found the grace of God is sufficient, and they're just on their feet cheering, saying, come on, you can do it. That's why we make a big old noise. And I love it. For me, it's one of the highlights because it freaks everybody out that comes through the door. Right, doesn't it? It freaks everybody out, but it shouldn't. Because church should be like that. There should be a dynamic, and I can feel it here this morning. There should be a dynamic within our lifestyle and our language that is cheering everybody on. Come on, I know it's hard, but come on, let's do it anyway. I know it's difficult, but come on. With God, we can chase 1,000 off. There needs to be an arising with the men. Come on now. There needs to be a rising within the spirit of a man. Man, I'm preaching already. There should be an arising within your life and yours where it's like, come on, I'm not going to believe the press of the world. I'm not going to leave the culture of career. I'm not going to believe the shape of sportsmanship. I'm going to believe who God says I am and then live as that. Come on, I'm getting preachy now. Because it's our time, men, whether you're a natural father or not one yet. One of the greatest advocates of fatherhood never had natural children, and his name was Paul. Man, he couldn't even ride a horse properly. I just thought I'd throw that one in. Man, he was not a nice guy. He was not a good guy. He didn't have the quality of upbringing and grace and compassion. Man, he just wanted to kill everybody that didn't agree with him. He just wanted to rip their heads off. If they didn't align up with his theology, boom. I tell you what, a lot of men you will know are still like that. There are men out in the world, if you don't agree with them, man, you're an enemy. If you don't tie up with what they believe, man, you're on the wrong side. Come on, I can remember working with a lot of men like that. It's, man, if you weren't in their club, man, you were in the wrong club. Man, if you didn't speak that language, you spoke a wrong language. Man, if you didn't believe that, if you didn't do all those things to all those people, man, you were not a man, you're a wimp. I've lived in that stuff. I've lived in that matrix of if you're not this, if you're not getting drunk every day, you're not really enjoying life. If you're not abusing someone, you are going to be abused. Fight first. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? I don't even know what's on my notes, I can't remember. And then suddenly, I've discovered that there was someone who had every right to beat my life up, who had every right to judge me, every right to criticize me. There was someone who had every power to squash me like a bug, and he used that power to save me. Come on! I found that there was a father in heaven who did absolutely everything that I wanted to do but never could. He even did things for me that I wouldn't even think of doing for me. Come on. And he did it through Jesus. That he saw die. So I'm here to tell you, men, that in our lives, and I think for many of you that went through the process of encounter, and I'm not here to promote encounter or freedom, except it was for freedom, not the course, but the spiritual reality. It was for freedom. Christ has, past tense, set you free, present tense. And the reality of coming through together with men, and I just love watching, I had the privilege of just talking. Just talking about God and God's word. And that's lovely, and it's a real joy. But what I love more is seeing all the people on my left-hand side come in like losers and go out like winners. That's where the blokes were sitting. The people who have had all kinds of backgrounds, probably like ours, all kinds of challenges, maybe like ours, and they came in, some of them literally limping in their emotion, limping in their mentality, limping in their experience. And just through being with other men, being under the sound of the voice of the Father in heaven, suddenly pennies began to drop. Come on. And you could see it. And again, I don't want to embarrass your pastor, but I'm going to. But one of the joys of serving in the particular team that he was part of, and you can see it from the Friday to the Saturday, is some of the men can be, this might be you, some of us men can't be a bit reluctant to come and say, "Will you pray for me?" Because there's something about the natural man that wants to work it all out for himself, and if he can't, he won't bother. We hide it under the carpet of life. And then suddenly you trip over the carpet. Have you noticed that? But there was something that is so precious, and I don't know whether they saw it, but I had the privilege of watching it, is that in the first session, as everybody responds and people were getting prayed for some people it was a little bit tentative, that you could feel a little bit of, okay, I'm just coming because I need to, whatever. But by the end of yesterday, man, you can separate these guys. You couldn't even get a bit of paper between their lives, because they had experienced God together as men together. Come on. So, where am I going with this? I think we need to recognize, men and women, that... I'll share this now. But in the prayer meeting this morning, which is extraordinary, I love being with you guys and praying this morning. It's like, woohoo, hello. There's an engine room coming here, and I like this. But in that time this morning, I felt the Lord say this to me, but for us. Us. So whether you're a man or a woman, this is for us. Whether you're a young person or an older person, this is for us. And that is part of why we are here as Kingdom Faith in Crawley, is to father Crawley. Part of what God is doing in our lives and wants to work in our lives and bring freedom through our lives isn't just so that we have a better Sunday. It will certainly do that, but so that we begin to take fatherly responsibility for the people that live around our community. Because I believe it's part of God's strategy as church that God's given us divine right and responsibility to determine what goes on and what does not go on within our community as fathers. Yes, amen. Which is why I believe in these last few months as a church particularly, we've been enthusing, we've been dragging, as brother was, he said, I felt Elsie arrested me. Well, maybe we need a few more women to arrest a few more men like that and give them the right foot of fellowship and say, come on, you need to step up, you need to get on the parade ground and stop lolling about, but come on, we're on the front line of life, aren't we? And I think there's a few of that's going on in terms of prayer. As a praying man is a dangerous man. I love it. Please hear this the right way. I love it when the enemy thinks I'm dangerous. I'm armed and dangerous. And so are you. Is I love that reality that when men arise in spirit, when they rise in the faith, when they begin to pray and meet with God and declare the things of God, you become a danger to all the things that you should be a danger to. Come on, you should be armed and dangerous. You should be a danger man, not a danger mouse. That one, I don't know where that came from, but that was quite good. Rohan liked that, made Rohan laugh. If I can make Rohan laugh, everybody's going to laugh. Is you need to be a danger man, not a danger mouse. Yeah, I'm going to use that one. That's cool. Is that as you just carve out some time and your world may tell you, you don't have time for this, this and this. Let me just tell you, you have time to do whatever you want to do. The question is, what is it that you want to do? Come on now. If you half the amount of time you're on social media, you double the time you can pray. Get in. I thought I'd chuck that one out. If you half the time you're watching some football game in some country far away. Oh, hello, we're on a funny one now. Even if you just watch the penalties. You will double the time that you can just be with God and with people. That's made Rohan. I don't know whether he's praying for me to shut up or what. But do you understand what I'm saying? We've all got time. But I believe men, whether you're a natural father or not yet, God is calling us to father our community. To have that kind of humanity in our manity that is infused with the divine. Because there is such a powerful scripture, and I didn't experience it fully because I don't think we can fully, but I experienced a glimpse of it yesterday where it said, Jesus looked on the multitudes and had compassion on them. And I just believe as men in the room and men listening afterwards, God wants to release compassion through our humanity, which is infused with his divinity. That when we look at life, we look with an expectation, God can change that, and God can use me in the process. Because I think sometimes as men, we don't step up to the plate and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Because there's so much rubbish that goes on in our thinking and so much rubbish that we just bring into our world that says, why would you be able to step up to the plate? And God wants us to be free from that. Come on, because if you don't go, who is? If you're not praying, who is? If you're not speaking, who is? It's the world, right? So there are natural fathers. What are they kind of focused on? Physical, emotional development, provision, hopefully, worldly skills, hopefully. They kind of connect through bloodline. They connect through genetics in a shared household. Well, let me tell you, when you gave your life to Jesus, you came into another bloodline. This one's got royalty running through it. This one's got majesty running through it. This one's got sovereignty running in it. This one is infused with the presence of God. In fact, the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it speaks when we can't. His blood speaks on our behalf. Even today, his blood is speaking on our behalf. This is awesome. Spiritual fathers, they tend to focus on our faith. What's God said? What are we doing with it? How are we living it out? Spiritual fathers, they're trying to develop our character, discover our purpose. We're not just here to suck in all the oxygen that we can and blow out all the carbon dioxide that we can. We might think we are, we might have been told that, our experience might have reinforced that, but no, I believe God is saying to you men, you are here for such a time as this one. We're here not just for divine purpose, but for divine time. This is why the enemy wants to sit on us, squash us. He wants us to look at society and say, we're not like that, so therefore we cannot. Whereas the Father is saying, look at him, because I make those that cannot can. I make those that are unable to, able to. Yes, amen. Every revival that I found, church history, started with one man. There was a man somewhere who experienced his father somehow that transformed him for something. And it released a passion in that man to find God in a real way and for others too as well. Every revival that you will find, there was a man somewhere locked in a room, in his lunch break, in his car. God, do something in me. Do something to me. Do something through me. Even my spiritual father, Pastor Colin, whom a lot of you would know, he was never my natural father. I mean, he came from a different kind of world than I did. He came from a different upbringing than I had. He had a whole different way of doing things than I did. I mean, he's Scottish, for goodness sake. And yet, the first time I met him with my family, which is 35 years ago, actually it's 40 years ago, at Faith Camp, little camping holiday we used to do. It is suddenly I saw a man who didn't have to. I had no right to demand it, but he began to invest in me as if I was part of his family. And it blew all the fuses in my head. Because I was trying to disqualify myself from what he had qualified me for. And what's the time? 28. Yesterday, I was, with these guys doing an encounter, and it was my wife's birthday. And, we don't always celebrate birthdays because sometimes we're just doing stuff. But my eldest, my son, he said, do you want to come out for dinner? I said, oh, yeah, come on. So there was me having seen the glory of God, having just been loving Jesus, skipping with my 10-year-old grandson down there at Acton High Street. Near the sea and the sand and the sun. And in that moment, when I could see Cadell, who's the grandson, skipping behind me, and he's big into Jude Bellingham, so he's happy boy at the minute, whoever he is, and Messi. Messi is what I call his bedroom. I think he likes it, but I'm not sure. Anyway, sorry, it's a joke. It's a boy joke. But there's me skipping down the road, and there's the 10-year-old skipping behind me. His brother, Saxon, who's 15, he's not keen on skipping. He kind of has a go because he's too cool for that. And then my son, who's getting on a bit now, is skipping as well. And I look behind me and I think, there's three generations of us just being stupid. Don't care. Because we love Jesus and we love life and we love each other too much not to let the world down. And I believe for us as men, we need to be living like that a bit more. That there's a skip within our lifestyle which jumps over the adversities, which triumphs over the enemies. It's just a skip. It's not a chore. It can feel like it, but it's a skip because God is empowering, he's enabling, he's lifting, he's constantly saying, come up here, come up here, come on, you can do it. I wish I could have recorded the sound at the encounter on Friday night and Saturday morning when everybody just went nuts. But I wish also I could video it where some people were in their natural default facial setting. I don't know how far I go. Sometimes they don't always look like that. Let's just put it that way. But just to remind you that it takes 38 muscles to frown and only 4 to smile. So don't wear your face out. And let's smile a bit more. So spiritual fathers are really important. I believe men here, that is part of what God is calling us into. We need to resist what natural fathering may or may not have looked like. We need to ignore the fact that we may not have had any biological children or not, because you will have sons, you will have daughters in the faith. I'm just going to close with this and then we're going to pray. I think there are three kinds of people as men that you need to gather around you. One is someone like a Paul that is going to mentor you, challenge you, and make you aspire to be more than you thought you could. Then we need a Barnabas, someone who is just going to help you up when you will fall down. All right, I'm working with the pastor at the minute. I've known him for many, many years. A lovely, lovely man in God. I've seen miracles. And he sent me a message last week. He said, Pastor, I'm down, but I'm not out. And I tell you, I'm not going to tell you, he's going through hell. And I said, when you're going through hell, just keep going. All right? He's down, but he's not out. You need a Barnabas around you, or become a Barnabas to someone. And then thirdly, as men, I believe you need a Timothy. Who are you investing your space into? That might be a natural person. It may not be. It might be a spiritual kind of community. But who is it that you're investing in? Because as Karen was saying in her context, is as you serve others with the gifts that God has given you, not only do they grow, but so do we. Is this making any sense to anybody? Apologies that I haven't used any of my notes because I think God's already been speaking all morning. But let's all stand up, shall we? I'll keep looking at the clock. There's a shadow of one up there. But there isn't one up there. Again, just close your eyes, if you would. And it does all go dark, but we're not afraid of the dark, are we? If the answer was no, in case you've forgotten. But just put your hand on your heart. And I kind of did this yesterday. I do this quite often, either in my own devotional time or even during the day, and say, Lord, I want to remind myself that I'm alive. Okay? If you can't feel your heart, then there's something up. If you can't feel your heart for too long, I will come and raise you up if you're dead. I promise. Okay? But hopefully you can feel two hearts. That's cool. Oh, that's good. That lady's pregnant, right? She's not weird. She's pregnant. That's what happens. She's not Doctor Who or anything like that. But I just feel, when I put my hand on my own heart, it makes me realise just how human I am, but also how close God is. We sang a great song about let my breath, let my lungs sing about your praise. And I think this just reminds me that God is inside of me. Father, I want to thank you right now that you live inside of us. That you haven't just, you're not just a theoretical father, but you are a real father who has given birth to us, who has lavished great love upon us. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I rebuke everything that is trying to steal from the reality of that love, every lie, every condition, every situation, every sense of failure. I rebuke those things right now. We shake those things off in the presence of God, in the presence of our enemies. You set a meal before us. And I want to thank you that we are loved. Whether a man or a woman here, we are loved. We are loved beyond measure, loved beyond reason. We are loved beyond condition. We are loved too much to leave us as we are. So I just call out every man under the sound of my voice, arise and shine. Be a man of faith. Be a man of determination. Be a man who makes a difference. I call forth every man right now, whatever your age, to step up to the plate of your life. Step up and position yourselves to make a difference. I just call out every man to find their Paul, to associate with their Barnabas, and to seek out their Timothy, that we will become investors in not just this generation, but in the one to come. I call out the young men in the youth here to arise and be everything God says you are. I want to thank you for influencers, entrepreneurs. I want to thank you for people starting ministries and starting dynamics of the things of God that once were a dream, but you caused them to be our reality. I want to thank you for that entrepreneurial spirit to dominate our natural lives so that we see resources released, opportunities opened up. We see even companies looking for us. They're looking for us because they see a gift that they want. I want to thank you for a community of faith here that begins to father the community of Crawley, begins to pry and intercede and invade and begin to change the lives of people, because as we look on Crawley, we have compassion because they're like sheep without a shepherd, and we want to become like a shepherd to them. For your honour, God, Lord, I call out natural fathers, spiritual fathers from this house. Step up to your role. Step up to your position. Step up to your condition. Be the man of God that the God of man says you are. You're not a product of your past, but you are determined by His purpose. You're fashioned for His purpose. And for every lady here, I want to thank you for prayer, sensitivity, that you become like a Barnabas spirit people that are constantly encouraging the men to, come on guys, stand up and arise, be who God says you are. That we're not criticized or critical or anything like that, but we are here to lift the guys around us to be great. Daniel 11, it says, for those who know their God are great and will do great exploits. Lord, I thank you for men here that will be numbered amongst men like that. Great exploits in the home, in the workplace, in the business place, in the marketplace, that we will be known as men who do great exploits. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise. Let's give him some thanks and praise right now, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.